Welcome back, 517, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. So I pick up a copy of the paper this morning, the Washington Times, and on page A7. There's this little column, The Corner of Wall and Main. And I see the headline, says, Rosy Headlines Obscure Some Troubling Trends. Better get to the bottom of this, and the author of that column joins me now. Chris Versace. Hey, Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Listen, I looked at this and I said, all right, Chris, what are you saying? 227,000 jobs added is not really a real number? Or is, tell me about it.
Well, you know, Andy, in the years that I've been writing, you know, the column for the Washington Times, as well as the 20-plus years I've been looking at the economy and investments, I have found that oftentimes headlines are misleading. That the talking heads on, you know, CNN, CNBC, they get all rah, rah, rah just because of a certain number comes in. But
right.
Very rarely do they dissect the data, you know, dig real deep into it to understand what is actually going on. And that's really what that headline points out. It is in a vacuum. Is 227,000 jobs good in the month of February? Sure it is. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
When we peer through and we see that, you know, about 90 million jobs are broken down into temporary jobs as well as jobs being created by restaurants, bars, that sort of thing, yeah, you have to sit there and go, 90,000 jobs are, A, not that good in terms of wages, and, B, temporary jobs come and go. So, it's very hard for me to jump up and down among that 227 when I understand how it's comprised.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the White House touted that number, and they claim the growth is there, and the trend is being set, and things are getting better. But, obviously, you don't just look at jobs numbers. You look at other things. You look at retail sales. Kind of the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And just before I say that comment on retail sales, I don't see how you can jump up and down about February when it was down dramatically in terms of job creation from January.
It's an election year, Chris. That's how
it is. No, I know, Andy. But remember, my job is not to distort the facts.
Right.
My job is to simply look at them, analyze them, and say, hey, guess what? This is what's really going on.
Yeah.
But your point about retail sales, too, you know, and even today with the consumer price indices that came out early this morning, you know, on both of these, retail sales were up sequentially. Yay, good headline.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, why was it up? Well, guess what? Everybody knows they're paying more at the pump, and the number one item that propped up retail sales was just that, gasoline sales.
Ah, okay. All right, so technically they really can't run on that because somebody will pick them apart for doing it.
Well, that will happen over time. I think the more disturbing factor is, you know, we have to remember that a lot of this data that we get is kind of rear-view data. You know,
yeah.
So if we're talking about what happened in February. What really matters is what's happening in the second half of March, April, and May, because the ripple effect for these higher gas prices in particular are going to be felt then.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about inflation if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Is it happening, and if so, how much?
Well, it is happening, and, you know, if you look at, like, the consumer price indices today, you know, we were up 0.4%, but that's a little distorted because we saw some contraction in some areas. But the real key indicator for me was seeing that vehicle fuel or motor fuel was up 6% month over month, and that's going to continue. And the thing to remember, Andy, is that it's not just directly at the pump. There's the lag effect, what I call the indirect ripple. Well,
mm-hmm.
That means that it's going to cost more for firms to ship their goods around the country.
Sure.
Meaning we're going to see higher food prices, we're going to see the impact on higher clothing prices, and so on. So, yeah, inflation is here, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing that the White House needs to see right now.
Well, you know, that depends on, you know, like you said, it's an election year, so it really depends on what side you're on, right?
Yeah. All right, now, you say in your column that economists have modified their outlooks. How so?
Well, what we've seen both on the domestic economy and even on, you know, Europe, but the overall global economy, is we've seen growth expectations ratcheted down. And why is that? Well, we take a look at the import-export, you know, the trade data. We take a look at the impact on, you know, retail sales, you know, some job creation, which is a positive influencer, at least near term, and a number of other economic indicators, and we are seeing growth slow compared to the fourth quarter, which is, you know, not that much of a surprise, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, many people look to the stock market as an economic indicator. The market's, been kicking up around 13,000, over 13,000. To many Americans, they look at that from the outside and say, man, that's positive. Things are definitely getting better. But am I getting a warning out of your column today that the numbers we see on Wall Street aren't reality?
Yes, you are. And I can say that for a couple of reasons. One, the volumes that are being traded on all three of the major exchanges, that's the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, and the American Stock Exchange, are down dramatically year over year. Roughly a billion fewer shares are trading each day compared to where they were last year. And to me, that says there's simply a lack of conviction. So we're having this melt-up in the marketplace. And anyway, on its face, it looks pretty good. But as we look forward, we've got, slowing growth in the first quarter, and that's probably going to be hit even more in the second quarter as the full impact of these higher prices are felt.
Huh. Now, do you get the indication that many people are just waiting for a certain threshold and they're going to bail or they're going to reinvest somewhere else?
Well, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? It's going to 13,000. Okay, fine, great. On the Dow or 4,000 on the S&P 500, and you sit there and you go, well, that's just a number. Doesn't mean that much to me, to be honest with you. To me, it's not so much the absolute number, but it's relative to where we've been. And when you think of it that way, the market year to date is up significantly, no matter what index you use. We've got, the NASDAQ that's up over 17%, the S&P 500 is almost up 12% in 10 weeks. So I would think that in normal times, I would say that we would probably see some sideways movement in the market, kind of a modest correction to let some of the froth out of the market. But in this case, the more we grind higher, the more concerned I become.
Yeah. Do you ever tell people just to get out of the market? I'm just curious.
No. And I say that because the way I look at the world is very much driven on thematics. So I have a long-term perspective. And as a result, to me, there's always a bull market out there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, because I can go both long or short, meaning I can bet with or against certain companies, there's always a winner or a loser to these trends. So, again, there's always ways to make money.
Yeah. And I guess you're a believer that it runs in cycles.
There's economic cycles. There's cycles within industries. There's always different ways and times to play and invest in different publicly traded companies.
Yeah. All right, hey, listen, I'm out of time. This has been fun. We got to do this again. The headline today, Rosy Headlines, Obscure Some Troubling Trends. Check it out. It's in today's Washington Times by Chris Versace. Chris, thank you very much.
Anytime, Andy. Thank you.
See you.